right, welcome back to the Multipod. This is episode 23 of our show that we launched earlier this year, and we are still going strong. Always finding new guests, always exploring new topics, and it's a pleasure to be with all of our listeners here again today. Thank you very much for joining us. So my name's Ted, one of your ongoing co-hosts. We do have a great plan and a guest lined up for today. And that is the member of the Putty tribe who goes by the name of Jillian. Jillian is a fellow Canadian, like myself, who is based out of Toronto. But as you'll hear a bit, she has certainly traveled quite a fair bit around the world. And we hope to get a little bit of that, those details as well. Jillian's led a very interesting life, as so many of us have. She's had some interesting jobs, different kinds of jobs and adventures. Hopefully we'll get a few of the stories if we start to go down some winding paths and explore a bit of her background. But we want to kind of focus. But as a result of that, you know, I mean, someone like Jillian, as you'll hear, has done a lot of different things. And so what first piqued my curiosity was, well, you know, what led her to making different choices and choosing the things that she's done? And we'll certainly hear a lot about some of the projects that she's working on now or has in mind as well. And so what has led her to make some of those choices as well and in terms of the projects that she's working on. So we're kind of going to be exploring as we chat here around the question of how, as multi-potentialites, how do we choose to pursue new projects? That's going to be a bit of our theme here today. But it should make for a really interesting conversation and a very fascinating person, which is Jillian. So Jillian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So Jillian's been a member of the Putty tribe for just over a year, and she's certainly been involved quite a bit over that time. I've seen quite a number of your posts and the various things that you've been working on.
Thank you.
Brought you to the Putty tribe in the first place? How did you discover it?
I was on YouTube and just flipping through, you know, music channels or whatever I was, you know, researching that day, and I just saw her and I clicked on the video and I just had the best surprise of my life, because everything seemed to just drop into place as soon as she started talking about, you know, all these scattered interests and running around and finding the shiny object and feeling out of sorts with people and out of sorts with society, I felt anyway. I never seemed to be able to follow that one path that you're supposed to take, you know, that you're supposed to be geared to take in school.
Mm-hmm. So you sound like someone who knew from basically a young age that you, what we now call a multi-potentialite, but basically that you had all these number of interests and passions and it was hard to choose one thing.
Absolutely. And I drove people crazy, because even my own family, because I was always, you know, I'd learn to play the guitar one minute and then go and play drums the next, or run a marathon, you know, like, you know, I was extremely hyper child and along with the multi-interest as well. Mm-hmm. But after discovering my, like, realizing I was a multipod or multipotentialite, whatever you want to call it, I realized that both my parents were too. Hmm. So I kind of like got double whammy in a good way, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, a lot of good discoveries after seeing that video.
Yeah. And was it soon afterwards that you found the community, the Putty tribe? Or was it a little while later?
I thought about it and I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to join. It was a money issue at the time.
Sure.
But then it took me a couple of months. And then finally I said, you know what? This is really up my alley. I think this is going to help me, you know, bring everything together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just bit the bullet and did it.
Yeah. I remember feeling the same way. It took me a couple of months or so at least to decide to join, spend the money. But the more I thought about it and did a bit more research and so on, I could tell I was going to get a lot out of it, which I certainly have, and I know you have as well. Going back to your younger days and I guess the progression of your, say, career and life and so on, I mean, did you feel a lot of pressure to choose a particular thing to do with your life? Did you ever have actually make a choice and a commitment and maybe you weren't happy with it?
well, I always wanted to be in the arts. I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to be a painter. I wanted to be an actor, a singer. But unfortunately, I was sort of geared into doing things I didn't want to do. So felt a lot of resentment towards that.
What kind of things?
Well, you know, I wanted to take a ballet lesson and I'm still have to do that. I, you know, I'm 55 and I thought I've got to do it. I've got to take a ballet lesson, one ballet lesson in your whole life, which you always wanted to do. No, my mom put me into brownies and stuff. It's like, I was such a hyper child and needed so much energy to burn off, or activities for something. From my energy burned off, and they all wanted me to sit down, you know what I mean? Like do all these sit down activities. And I was just jumping out of my skin, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to pursue the dancing and the ballet and all the stuff I wanted to do as a kid, all the right. things. And it's been great. So I've set up my whole apartment in sort of different sections where I can just do writing at one table, I can do painting at another, and then I have an area where I can, you know, just do ballet or dance or whatever exercise I want. So
that's great.
Yeah, I've set everything up and I'm happy when I come home. You know, I don't have to set anything up, it's all there and I just go to it.
Yeah, so. That's such a great feeling, you know, to set up a studio or just to have your space, right? And you just launch right into it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of time to pursue these interests these days?
Well, things have been kind of like a spanner in the works lately. I work for Canada Post and we're on rotating strikes. So it's been a very, very stressful and frustrating time for both management and the union trying to reach a deal. So however, we were off today picketing, so I did manage to do some work today, like for myself. Hmm. So I take whatever time I have, I try to utilize. Like I have just over an hour bus ride every morning to get to work. Hmm. So I try and do writing on the bus or whatever. I, you know, just something to further me along in whatever project I'm working on.
Sure. That's a great opportunity to do it.
Yeah. Because, you know, an hour, well, 2 hours a day is quite a lot of time. A lot of things can be accomplished in a couple of hours.
Yeah. And of course, on transit, you know, you don't have to drive. You don't have to pay attention to traffic, any of that stuff.
Absolutely.
So what do you do with Canada Post?
I'm a what they call a PO5. I drive stackers and forklifts, unload trucks, that sort of thing. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I worked for Canada Post for, I think, 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 4 years ago. It was the hardest job as a letter carrier. It was the hardest job I had ever done. And
yep.
certainly gain a whole new respect for it. I can't say I enjoyed it. I'm glad. I mean, it was an interesting experience that adds to the annals of jobs, crazy jobs even that I've done. But, you know, it was just so intense. You would walk 30 kilometers a day, absolutely flat out. I lost so much weight. Yeah. I was in the winter. I was like, you know, called in for winter reserve,
you.
Right? But, yeah. And I ended up getting a lot of work because everybody else takes off to like Florida or calls in sick. And so I was getting called almost every day. But you show up at the depot, one of three depots in Gatineau where I live, mm-hmm. across from Ottawa. And, you know, you'd show up and you'd get a whole new route, try to understand that you've never done before. You don't know the city. You try and understand where to go. I had to bring my cell phone with me and use like Google Maps to try to make sense of the route, right? And of course, trying to figure out all the relay boxes where you pick up all the mail and the parcels and lugging all this stuff. It was just insane. And like, you know, I'm glad I found the job that I have now, which is a lot different. But yeah, it was interesting to understand how complicated and intense it was. But I saw a lot of people there that, you know, that was their life, of course. And the thing is, your letter carrier, it's like, you know, of course, the longer you're there and more seniority you get, you can choose your route. You can essentially choose the time of year you work and when you take time off, stuff like that. And so I suppose the conditions improve a bit. Did you ever do letter carrying yourself?
13 and a half years.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the, it's one of the novels I'm writing about. Mm-hmm. It's called The Asylum.
Okay.
So it's about my experiences in the post office. And it's actually inspired by Charles Bukowski's version of post office. And I love him as a writer. He wrote in the 60s and 70s. And in the 80s as well, too. He wrote a book called Hollywood as well. And he's just got a brilliant sense of humor. It's just so matter of fact. And it just sort of scrapes the surface of being at the post office, the U.S. post office.
Sure.
And it's just so much fun. And so anyway, I read that book and I thought, you know what? It just barely scrapes the surface of all the stuff that goes on there, you know. So anyway.
So what's your objective for your book?
The objective is to sell it and get out. I shouldn't say that.
I don't know if they'll be listening to this, but.
Oh, gosh. You know, like it's just, I just need to move on. That's all I have to say.
Well, how long have you been at Canada Post?
15 years.
Okay, that's a long stretch.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, at least it sounds like you've done different jobs within the organization, but still.
Yeah, I started off as a truck driver, 5-ton driver. Mm-hmm. And then I was working in the film business at the same time. And then the film business, like, totally bottomed out in Toronto, bottomed right out, and everything was moved back down to the States. Hmm. And I just bought my condo and I thought, okay, we got to get a full-time job fast. And that's how I became a letter carrier.
I see.
Yeah. And then after all this postal transformation situation, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to get out. I mean, you're working into the dark and it's dangerous, and I'd already torn my hip, and it was just like, please, I don't want to be a cripple by the time I'm 65, you know? So, but anyway, I don't regret not doing it. There was a lot of amazing people that I met, and it was just amazing being outside delivering, but you know, it's changed. It's not the same anymore, the job. So it's unfortunate.
Are you still doing any work in the film industry then?
Yes. I still retain my membership. I did a movie last year as a driver on the Girlfriend Experience, the second season. The film business is amazing. It's an amazing industry. Long hours, I know, and very tiring and that, but mm-hmm. it is pretty amazing, the business.
So when you chose to get into that, back in the day at least, the first time around, like, was that tapping into your artistic kind of creative interest to be part of that scene?
Well, you know, it's funny because it always kept coming up. Like when I was in Vancouver, I was trying to get trying to live out there. And, you know, I just apply for jobs and, you know, I worked on a film set in Vancouver and then I moved back to Toronto and then did a lot of catering gigs. And then I ended up doing one at the airport in Toronto here. And the woman who was catering that specific event catered to film. And then it just took off from there, you know, like, I started doing catering with her, and then she also did catering for the amphitheater at Ontario Place.
Yeah, lots of big concerts there.
So I was doing, lunches, movie lunches in the day, and then going and doing concert lunch, dinners at night.
Now, by that you mean you're delivering lunches, or were you?
And serving them, and
Oh, yeah.
yeah, and then you have an opportunity to go and watch some of the concerts too.
Cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then I got fed up with food, dealing with food and stuff, and everybody's little peccadilloes about what they don't want to eat and
Oh, yeah.
so forth. So I decided to become an assistant director because I met so many different production managers when I was catering, and I got them to sign letters to get me into the Directors Guild. And then, so I just, for the most part, I was responsible for getting actors from, the hair, makeup, wardrobe trailers to set, and, making sure they get home at night and signed out and whatever, taking care of their family if they bring their family and so forth.
Okay.
So, and then I got sick of dealing with actors. And then, they're stressful. And then became a driver because it was just like I went and got my tractor trailer license and joined IATSE 873.
That's the union.
Yeah, and the transport. So, and that's been amazing too. I worked on it and special effects. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
And I worked one day at the Science Center for Shape of Water. They filmed part of those scenes of Shape of Water in the basement
the movie,
of the Science Center. Like all the pipes, there's a long corridor with all the pipes on either side and the laundry room. They did the laundry room scene down there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just to meet him, because he's just, he's just so incredibly talented, man.
The actor?
Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, the director. Yeah, right.
But all of them, all the whole cast were incredible.
Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful period piece film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, you've had some pretty neat, adventures and experiences just kind of through the course of pursuing these opportunities. It's always neat when that kind of happens. We stumble into jobs and maybe careers even, and these fun things happen, but you put yourself in that position, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, if I can sense a trend, they would be maybe that you love to try things and you really kind of throw yourself into it, and then it comes a point where it's done. You've got what you want out of it. It's time to do something else.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got to keep things, I think the thing about multipods for me, just talking to people and stuff, it's like we're on a constant rebirth of sorts.
Yeah.
It's just this incredible creativity that's coming out. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's always coming out constantly, these ideas, and it's pretty amazing. And once you accept that you are a multipod, for me, is that it just totally mellowed me out, because I was so stressed out at like, why am I running all over the place trying to complete five things all at the same time? It really became stressful because I didn't understand why I was acting like that,
Well,
I mean, yeah,
go ahead.
I appreciated the energy, mm-hmm. and but it's just that I think things were just falling through the cracks because I was just trying to do so much. It's so like all at the same time. And it's like, I was just getting so frustrated because I wasn't really accomplishing anything at the end of it.
Sure. So like nowadays, do you feel you have a bit better balance between your projects and interests?
Absolutely. And setting up those different areas where I can just go, the printer is there, everything is all set up, and I don't have to spend, because I used to spend so much time setting everything up and wasting time, and I drove myself nuts. You know, it's like just put all these little stations up and away you go. So yeah.
So like that's kind of a logistical thing, which is important, but also I would think there's the maybe emotional side of it that you feel you have the permission now to embrace
Wow.
these multiple interests, right?
Very insightful. Absolutely. Yeah, very insightful. Yeah.
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 That's part of the power, I think, that comes from being in a community like this. We all give ourselves permission, right? And we feel empowered as a result.
Yeah, I feel a lot more settled. I feel, yeah, just a lot more calm. Like, you know, I don't care if people don't like my art or whatever. It's just, I'm just doing it for me, because I have a hard time doing meditation, because I have a hard time sitting in one place for a long time. But when I start painting and just, you know, just playing around with color and stuff like that, it's just, I lose myself for hours and hours. It's just awesome. It's my relaxation. So yeah.
So like you're a painter and a writer, and I think I saw photography. You do some photography?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious to know, like, when you have a project in mind, you have at least one book on the go. I think there was another one too. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it's called The Big Smoke, and that's about the film business.
Okay. So I mean, when you have an idea like that, and you start to take some action to, basically start writing and researching and stuff like that. Are you thinking in your mind, like, I want to see this through to the end? Or do you just want to see how far it goes and then, maybe you'll move on to something else?
Well, if I can get them both shot as films or television series or whatever, that would be like the ultimate, that would be the ultimate, you know,
Sure.
prize, really.
But well, okay, so I mean, to get to that point, that's going to take a lot of, I would say, dedication, to even just one of those books, and that's just
Yes.
one of the many projects and things you have on the go or could have on the go, right? And so
Yes.
I think about this a lot for myself when I have some ideas and things I want to pursue, especially for a business and to try to make some money and stuff like that. If I want to do something and really take it seriously, I have to recognize that I need to set other things aside and focus on that one thing to bring it to some kind of success, what my definition at least of success is. But I know that, and I feel like I need to focus and concentrate, right? And the question
Right.
then is, how long? Is it a few days? Probably a lot longer than that, maybe a few weeks or months even, at least to get to a point where it's established. And I think if you have something that's well established or maybe completed, but either way, then you can afford to move on to that other project, and perhaps the thing that you spent all that time creating and building, it's kind of humming along, Or as I say, maybe it's completed and you really did it. You accomplished it, right? So anyway, I've been wrestling with this the last little while. It's like, I know I need to force myself to really commit and dedicate myself to the one thing, which of course is like antithetical to multipods. We want to do a whole number of things. But I really, what's going to be the bigger pull, to try lots of different projects and ideas, or to really accomplish at least one thing and to see it through like this, the maximum of its potential? So,
Yeah,
what's your take on
that's a lot.
that?
Well, okay, what's motivating me now is that this has been on my slate for so long, and it's taken me so long to figure out what I'm really writing about. But in the meantime, I'm still writing. So, and like I said, I have that test where, you know, there's a lot of times where I was just going to junk the whole thing and say, forget it, you know, I'll just shred it. But I have that test where it's in my gut and I'm like, no, it doesn't feel right to go and shred it. So I need to keep going with it. So,
That's a great test.
you know,
I think a lot of us can relate to that. You may be frustrated with something or feeling a little lost, but the thought of giving up, letting it go, and even in a cathartic way to walk away from it, maybe this is the right thing to do, but that's the question you have to ask yourself. How am I going to feel if I walk away? Am I going to feel like I tried and, you know, I did it? Or am I going to miss it? Am I going to feel like I didn't achieve all that I could have, or, you know, I'm missing that opportunity now? And it's a gut feeling. You could look at it logically. I think it's a gut feeling.
Yeah. And I've always followed my intuition, and every time I didn't follow my intuition, I got into trouble. And you know, not in a bad crisis sort of way, but you know, you're like, oh God, why didn't I just listen to myself? That kind of thing. So yeah, intuition and gut is always important to follow. Because I don't think we're really appreciated, the multipod, multipotentialites. I really don't feel that we're appreciated at all. And we're, as far as I'm concerned, we're kind of like the best people for the 21st century. Yeah. Because as funny, or I don't know if it's going to sound egotistical or not, but I always felt like I was a little ahead of the game of other people, in the sense that I was always trying to make sure that I was employable. You know, I could, you know, learning to type was the best thing you could ever do. It's an amazing skill, because I could go work in England. I could go work anywhere, you know, as a secretary or whatever. And then, you know, getting a truck license, it opened up another door. You work in the film business, or you'll never be unemployed if you have a truck license, ever. Mm-hmm. It's just another great ticket to have. So I've always been looking for opportunities and, you know, have this license, have this, have that, to always be employable and always have different streams of income coming in. Mm-hmm. Because you just kind of, you know, after working in so many different industries and offices, that you kind of get a sense that, you know what, this job is going to disappear, or this industry is going to grow and this one is just going to go, you know, by the wayside. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I've had a good, I can see down the road. I've always had that ability to see down the road.
So you based your choices on a lot of that intuition.
Yep.
And was that kind of regardless of the commitment maybe that it would take to get, say, a truck license? You know, regardless how long it would take, you were going to do it?
Yeah, because I was determined to get into IATSE 873, and I knew that I had to get that tractor trailer license to do it. So I jumped, and the government was running a great training program that they were going to pay for. And yeah, you had to go through a lot of bureaucratic paperwork to do it. And I thought, that's fine with me. It's going to save me $4,000, because at the time it was $4,000 to get a truck license. Hmm. So, you know, just taking advantage of all those opportunities. And It's a very, very difficult situation for people and jobs right now.
Yeah, in general, there's a lot of instability, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, right now I was trying to think of I'm not very good with the internet and not very internet savvy, so I really need in utilizing social media programs and platforms. Mm-hmm. So today I was trying to figure out, okay, maybe I can do public relations consulting, but I need to learn all these other skills, because the public relations game has changed so much since when I was doing it. Mm-hmm. So because you have so many different media outlets to advertise and brand somebody's product, and your own for that matter.
Sure.
So anyway, so that's what I need. Those are skills I really need to. I've been avoiding doing it because I just feel so stupid.
Well,
because it's just, I just find it a little overwhelming. Like,
you know, all the coding, and I'm like, oh my Lord, like
Yeah,
I
if it
just
comes to
want to
that.
know how to
Well,
just
okay.
turn
So, I mean, in the spirit of, you
it
know, having got your truck license, having learned how to type really well, what are some parallel projects or skills that you want to pursue now?
Well, I want to get these novels published. I would love to. I'm trying to learn about YouTube and have a proper channel. I do have a channel, but it's not done properly, so I need to work on that. Maybe get this stuff shot myself. I don't know, put a production together and get it shot. I'll write my own material. A lot of successful shows are being written by people like the writers. The writers are taking back control of their art more so now.
Right, and with YouTube and podcasting and stuff like that, you know, you don't
Yeah.
need heavy duty production. You can do it from home. You can do it with
Exactly.
one or two people.
So anyway, those are, sort of wish list kind of dreams right now. I just need to get the material done and written.
Do you have a timeline or a deadline then for doing that?
Well, today I got out my calendar. I have a big calendar on the wall because I need to see everything on a wall to get me organized. And so I've set some deadlines for chapters. In 2 weeks, I have this chapter done, and next 2 weeks, I have this couple of chapters done. And yeah, so I'm really starting to kick myself. And come on, we got to get this done.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a few minutes left. I want to talk about your two websites.
Okay.
Sure. There's the Travel Cat Scribe, which is it says where travel. Okay, where Travel Cat's Scribe. It's like a travel blog or a hub for travel writers, kind of thing.
It's been sadly neglected, I'm sorry to say, but I'm being honest.
Oh, there's still good stories though, and content
Yeah,
there.
there's some good story, but I just got back from India and Sri Lanka, so there's a lot,
Oh,
there's
yeah.
so much stuff I need to get on there and pictures and but in the meantime, I volunteer write for a blog at the Annex Cat Rescue in
Okay.
Toronto. And it's just my way of giving back. So what I've been doing is filling or creating content for Travel Cat Scribe with these rescue stories that I've been writing. Anyway, that's like something I really need to get a handle on. And then there's Multipod Motivator, where I'm just
Yeah.
interviewing awesome people through the Putty Tribe
Right.
and learning new things. And
Now that's like
I'm really
text-based interviews, right? Like people are writing you answers.
Yes, but I'm doing that. I'd like to expand into podcasting and stuff like that, but I just can't add to the plate right now.
Yeah, that's just it, you know, and that's a good example because podcasting is like anything, but I think if you're going to do it and you have a good idea, you want to do it
Yeah.
well, and that takes time and commitment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, you could do it, you know, what you should do is you should come on our show more or host an episode or something like that to give yourself to try it out, and we can tell you how all the tech stuff and to set it up, which is pretty straightforward. But then you don't have to start your own show. You don't have to do the whole thing. You know, just come and host an
Would be
episode.
amazing.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh my gosh.
We'll chat
Rock
afterwards.
on.
We'll chat after. So, yeah,
Okay.
Multipod Motivator. So, if people want to basically share any kind of story, is it there seem to be a lot of travel
Well,
stories, which is great, but
at multimodmotivator.com, if people would like me to help them promote their business, their passions, their interests, whatever they've got going, or they just want me to do like a mini bio about their life, and I just send them like some questions, and sometimes I tailor make it to whatever they're doing, and I get the answers. I do a story. I draft it back to them, and if there's any inaccuracies or things that need to be changed, then I change it, and then I just post it and hope people like it and share it. And my purpose is trying to bring out the best in everybody, because I really think people need to be celebrated right now, because this world is pretty dismal and negative.
Yeah,
so,
be.
You know, and just trying to like, hey, this person's doing this. Let's just be a little more positive, you know, and be happier about things.
Well, that's a nice compliment to our podcast, I think. You have, because we're basically trying to do the same thing like I'm doing right now with you. We like to meet people and hear a bit about their story and some of their insights, adventures, and the things they've learned and experienced and all of that. And you're essentially doing the same thing in text and photos, right?
Yeah.
Through the website. So the most recent, and this is, it's an ongoing thing. Like the most recent story there is from the Putty Tribe member, Maja Gray. And that was just November 2nd, 2018. So, you know, scarcely a week ago, where she talks about a lot of her travels. She is apparently planning to travel or sail around the world. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, so she's been going through a lot of physical training programs and doing a lot of sailing training, and she wants to empower a million people through her site to, you know, to pursue their own dreams. She also, I mean, also this opportunity of sailing around the world is bringing people who have very, very little knowledge or training and bringing them to a point where they can sail around the world like a real sailor, like a properly trained sailor. And, you know, so you're mixed with people that are highly, highly trained, as well as people that, you know, had very little training. But, I mean, they're trained safely.
Sure.
You know? So yeah, so she's a very interesting lady. Worked in the Coast Guard, and she was saying that she worked in Newfoundland counting icebergs for the U.S. Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. And pretty interesting lady.
And you've been to Newfoundland too, right?
Yes, I have. I love Newfoundland.
It's a
Every
place.
Time
it's
I leave,
neat.
I cry. It's bizarre. I don't have any family that I know of there.
Yeah.
I have no connection to Newfoundland, but I love that place. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a different spirit there. You know, it's a unique vibe. I went there I spent about 3 weeks there. Exactly, almost this time of year. That was, I think, 9 years ago. So, you know,
you're brave.
Oh, I know. I like the crossing is the fun part.
Oh my gosh, that's cold.
Yeah, but that's just it. It was, you know, it was after the tour season, of course. So you really get to hang around with the locals and people, or even travelers maybe who are backpackers staying for a while. But, you know, there's so much that struck me about Newfoundland, but a lot of it is the geography, right, and the topography. And there's relatively few trees. It's extreme. They call it the rock. It's very, very rocky. And the whole island is like steep cliffs that just tumble off into the ocean. And you get these little picturesque fishing villages, some of which are only accessible by boat, by ferry. So, yeah, I mean, you could spend lots of time there and just constantly exploring. It's a pretty neat place.
Did you go to a kitchen party?
We had one at the hostel I was staying at, so kind of, but... Yeah, I remember that.
Cool. I've never been to one. I keep hearing about them, but I've never been to one.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, I'll go back again. I almost bought a house there, so I'll go back.
Oh, you've done lots of traveling. I mean, I see here that you've been all around the UK. You've been in Kenya, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Easter Island, Egypt, Portugal, Spain, France, Bali, Singapore, Mexico, Cuba, Holland, Italy, Switzerland. India, you're just in India.
Yep. India was, oh, man.
Was that your first time there?
Yeah.
India is something else. Say, it's pretty intense.
It's very intense. Oh,
how long were you there?
It's 3 weeks. We were in Rajasthan. I went on a tour.
Okay.
And we stayed in Jaisalmer at the end of the Silk Road there before you go into cross the Pakistani border. And 12th century fort. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I was, you know, I had a window seat and I'm looking out over the Golden City. I'm like, oh my God, I love this. Pinched me, I'm dreaming. And then we went to the Taj Mahal and I could not stop looking at that building. It is one of the most magnificent buildings I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
It's just incredible. And we went to this place called Abenari and they have a step well and it's basically an inverted pyramid. It is incredible. The engineering, it's basically to save water.
Right.
And
I've seen pictures of that one or something similar, but I can picture it with all the steps that slowly get kind of tighter and tighter, right, as you get down to the bottom.
Yeah. It's the engineering was just incredible. Like the wow.
How did you choose India for a trip this time?
Well, I've always wanted to go there, and it was just the right time. I was going to go to Nepal, and I thought, why am I going to Nepal? I need to go to India. I need to go to India. So I went to India. I went through Intrepid. I always have some amazing experiences with Intrepid. And our guide was incredible. Really, really amazing guy. We were on trains. We were every kind of transport. Tuk-tuks, you name it. We were on it. And he really wanted to show us his country. And he was so proud of his country. And we went to... Went to see a movie at this place called the Raj Mandir Theater. It's all Art Deco. It's just gorgeous. And of course it was all in Hindi, the movie, but you could get the gist of the movie, and it was the crowd participation was incredible, and you know, they all got up at the national anthem, and it was a trip. It was great. Yeah.
Well, it's been great. It's been a real pleasure getting to know you and
you.
Putting a voice to the all the interesting things that you've shared on the forum and so on. So we'll be sure to share the links to your websites. And, of course,
please,
if people want to contribute to the Multipod Motivator, then they can send you an email or they can contact you through the website.
Yep. Yeah, yep. If they want me to help them promote something or whatever, they want a mini bio or they just want a story done about them, then yeah, I'm here to promote people and positive things in these dismal times.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if that's one of your skills, I like to see the Putty tribe start to, it may be kind of catalog, but really embrace people's skills. We all have maybe particular things, of course, that we're good at or we worked at just by the nature of our jobs. And so what can we do to help each other out to support each other's projects or ambitions, you know? That'd be that. If we really wanted to do that well, I think it would take a bit of organization and some maybe tech support and stuff like that. But I'm sure we could. It's kind of like the MAP project, you know, that they've launched over the last month or so where they had to set up the kind of Google Map type thing, but people could start adding their location. And then if anyone's traveling or visiting a city, you can see who's living nearby that's a member of the tribe. So that kind of stuff's possible for sure.
I think that's a great idea. And also I was thinking like toying with the idea of like having multipods as guides in different cities.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know, like there's lots of potential for travel, and that's why I was trying to think of ideas to revamp Travel Cat Scribe, because a lot of travel is very saturated in the ideas and there's not a lot of fresh approach. But, you know, I'd be so open to discuss, like exploring this whole how do we travel and are we different, and it could be open up a whole bunch of doors, you know, for opportunities.
Yeah, and you know, to expand it beyond the Putty tribe, I mean, if we were to identify a particular method or where people could identify and they don't realize they're multi-potentialites, right, but they're travelers, and however they kind of come across this, then they realize, Oh, actually, I've always been someone who had lots of interests and so on. This is how I would apply it to travel. If there was something, I don't know if we would really have something that stands out, but that's something we can explore for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to work on it.
Another project.
I know. All right. Well, we'll be in touch, and hopefully we'll hear your voice here again on our show before too long.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks very much for joining us.
Nice meeting you.
You too. We have two Putty Pete profiles to share with you this week, starting with Michelle Rene. Michelle is currently into writing adventures, water adventures, especially kayaking, and puttython explorations. She lives in Cloverdale, California, north of San Francisco, and has previously lived in no particular order, McLeod, Mount Shasta, Sonoma County, where she's from. It's basically part of Cloverdale. Seaside, the Monterey area, La Mesa, San Diego area, Simi Valley, San Fernando Valley, so lots of California, and also Tucson, Arizona, where she says, it took a while, but I eventually fell in love with the stark mountains, the desert, and the wide open skies. Now, you can find her on Twitter. Her username is pen_umbra, so pen_umbra. pen_umbra is her Twitter account. You can find her there. And we highlighted Michelle as the Putty Peep of the Week this week in particular because she was quite involved in our recent Puttython and really took it to heart, you know, getting involved and getting into the whole concept and principle of it. So a number of things that she wanted to do that she reported on. I think she got most of it done. You know, things around the house, stuff like sorting through some of her plants, repotting plants, getting her bed, her room ready for winter, going through her bead collection, things like that, taking her bike to the shop for repairs, all those little things, you know, that you put off from time to time or tasks that need to be done. And a puttython can certainly be about that just as much as anything. But, of course, most of us really take interest in our creative pursuits. And for Michelle, it was her writing. So she had quite a bit of writing she wanted to do, sharing some thoughts. And she did share a bit on the forum. You can find it there under her post. So it's worth checking out. And a great example of getting involved deeply in the Putty Tribe and the Puttython. And so it's a pleasure to share Michelle Rene as the first Putty Peep of the week. Secondly, this week we have Ariane Kort, who is in Stuttgart, Deutschland, Germany. She is currently into organic intelligence, intuitive singing, and anything that's sunflower yellow or turquoise. So she's in Stuttgart now, but she has previously lived in Sweden, Netherlands, France, Switzerland, and California. Now, I don't see any link to any personal websites or social media here, anything like that, so perhaps we can follow up with that later if there's anything Ariane would like to share. But there's quite a number of other interests, passions, and skills, essentially kind of keywords that jump out here in her profile. Things like, and this is very random, things like shame research from a dozen of angles. Shame research. So Ariane seems to be into, as she talks about organic intelligence, nonviolent communication, I think a lot of psychology and kind of neuroscience and stuff like that. So modern trauma research she talks about. Ego depletion, exploring the stillness behind everything, somatic psychotherapy, being divinely human, interesting English words, okay, creating structures for my life and work that are neither too rigid nor too flexible, and then we get into how plants communicate. She's into improv theater, boundaries, the Baltic Sea, slowness again, This Is Us, the series, Doctor Who, and then we come back to anything that is sunflower yellow or turquoise. So, hey, why not? Ariane's been a member of the group since January 8th, 2016, so coming up on 3 years before too long. And her puttython focus, it seems to be, I don't know if she would describe it this way, but well, she talks about decluttering, so perhaps minimalism, but basically on that kind of track. So she talked about her main focus as being decluttering and putting together a list of the things she actually needs and likes and enjoys and giving or throwing away the rest. And to do so, or essentially to have some accountability for the project, she decided to track the number of things that she was going to get rid of and gradually share that number as it increased with the group on the forum during the course of the Puttytharn. So it's funny, as you scroll through the topic here, the first number is number three things she let go of, a rain jacket she was never going to wear again, stuff like that. And then she's up to number 15, more clothes. And now we're up to 75, a box of old soaps and like shampoos, and then 109, 128. Holy crap, 333 things, 349 things she managed to get rid of. That's pretty impressive. So, okay, never mind. 494. This is kind of an ongoing thing. 540 is the last number I see here. 540 things she was able to declutter from her house or her apartment. So that sounds pretty successful. That's a really neat project to document on the Puttython, because you know you have that deadline, right? The 24 hours generally, and so you know you kind of follow along and you're sharing with the group as the hours are ticking by, and kind of that live tracking how it went. So that's pretty neat. I'm glad that it worked out for her, and it's a lot of fun to catalog and to take note here of Ariane, who's the Putty Peep for this week. Well done. Now, I want to make sure to share the two websites we were talking about there with Jillian, the two sites that she works on. The first one is her writing site, tapping into a lot of travel themes, Travel Cat Scribe. So it's all one word, Travel Cat Scribe, all one word, .com. That's where you can find the site. And, you know, she says, well, she hasn't updated it for a little while. I still see a couple of things here from 2018. But, you know, there's a fairly decent back catalog of various types of stories and things that people have contributed, things that she's come up with. So check it out. You get a good sense of her writing there. And then, of course, her more recent project, the other website, is Multipod Motivator. So same thing, all one word, multipodmotivator.com. And that gets you to the homepage where you can start to read some of the stories. We were talking there about Magic Gray, of course, a fascinating story, and her life in the Coast Guard, and now the sailing trip she's planned. You'll see a story from Kiki, who was on our show not so long ago. And then our own Sandrine Gassard is there on the show. She did an interview with Jillian back in July of this year, where she talks about being a jack of all trades, of course, and trying to choose and pursue the various interests she has. And a particular focus in that interview, of course, with her pilot efforts as she tries to get her pilot's license over the past few months and all the work that's gone into that, trying to build a business out of it. So a great interview that is there with Sandrine, and that's all on the site. When you go to the website, go to the top right, you'll see a link is called Multipod Posts. It's a pop-up menu, and when you hover over that, you'll see a list of all of the people that have showed up there so far. Probably a few names that you'll recognize from our group. Vicky Coombs is another one. We'd like to get her on our show before too long, but she's quite active in the Putty Tribe. So really check it out. And you know, it all comes back to this effort that we make here a lot on our show, and there's Jillian doing the same thing, to give multi-potentialites a platform to share their story, to share some of the things they've accomplished in their lives, the things that they're working on now, and of course, projects and ideas to come. And so thanks again to Jillian for coming on the show and sharing her story, some of the projects and things that she's worked on in her life and of course is working on now, things to look forward to, especially those novels. It sounds like a great project, hopefully something that she can get published and released before too long, and I know that we all look forward to seeing the results. So thanks to Jillian, and thanks to you for joining us here today and listening again on The Multipod. As always, you can contact us, themultipodcast@gmail.com, and we certainly encourage any discussion about the show on the forum. Again, you can ask us questions there, or you can just chat about the episodes and share some of your thoughts about the things you've learned, whether it's this episode or another one. You're certainly welcome to do that, and we'll get into some good discussions on our forum. And one last thing, we'd like to announce that we are looking specifically for at least one, maybe a few people, but at least one person to help us do some of our research. So, you know, we kind of put this together, this show together here as best we can, our team here in between our busy lives. And one thing we really want to try to work on more is doing some more research and diving into multi-potentialite topics. And this is something that takes some time. Now, this is particularly something that might be of interest if you don't want to get behind the mic, if you don't want to be on the show itself. Of course, you're welcome to, but if your interest is more behind the scenes and doing some preparation and research for us, a lot of that kind of taps into all kinds of topics and discussions that happen on the forum, some of the innumerable ideas and topics that are brought up on Emily Wapnick's website on puttylike.com. That's a big source of material. And, you know, scouring the internet, perhaps for multi-potentialite term or something similar, or just anything that would be of interest to us. So if that sounds like something you'd like to help, we can amass this research and start turning it into concrete episodes, finding the guests that match with it, and a great way to get involved in the show. So let us know if that's of any interest. We're going to keep promoting that and looking for people, and a great way to help us out here on our team. So stay tuned, as always, next episode coming up in a couple of weeks. And thanks again for joining us on the Multipod.